Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
This morning I want to do a lesson based out of the context of the book of Philippians chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4. And in the context of our lesson, I want us to answer the question, what more do we need in life? And I want to begin, if you would, with another question, and that is, what do you need in life? Probably all of us would say that I need this or I need that. And when we think about the things that we need, we would likely answer that we need material things in life. And I'm going to say that that is quite common as we would explore that question throughout the world. As we think about the things that we need in life, I'm not thinking about our wants and desires. Those are things that, in truth, we can do without. But rather, what I'm looking at is, what is it that we really and truly need? Let me suggest that I truly believe that we need God above all in our lives. We need a relationship with our God. Not only do we need God, my friends, also we need His Word. We need to possess His Word. We need to study His Word. We need to apply His Word to our everyday walk of life. And we need, in doing so then, to embrace His Word and to allow it to be the foundation for everything that we believe and everything that we will stand on in life, knowing full well that if we do this, heaven will be our final reward. But my friends, in order for us to do this, I believe that each and every one of us need to understand our need for Jesus Christ. If we have Jesus Christ in our life, if our life centers in and around the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what more do we need? We really and truly need nothing else. And the Apostle Paul understood this, and he conveys this understanding about what it is that he possesses in Christ as he wrote to the saints at Philippi from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4. And therefore today, as we go through our lesson, I want us to look at the points that Paul lays out in regard to what it is that he had in Christ and what we have in Christ. To begin with, Jesus provides purpose for life. Most people spend their lives in pursuit of life's purpose. If you ask an atheist what their purpose in life is, you will likely have them say there's no point to life, there's no meaning to life, there's really and truly no purpose to life, is that man lives and then he dies, and he's like the dog Rover who's dead all over. Yet at the same time, you and I know that that's not the case. Others look to their purpose in life and they say that they want fame and notoriety. They want to be able to have wealth and things of that nature. They look to the meaning or the purpose of life to be able to go out and to do whatever it is that you want to do in life. They look to the purpose of life and they say that whatever, not only that makes me happy in life, but if I'm able to attain great things, is that really and truly, this is my purpose in life. But yet at the same time, the Bible teaches us that this is not truly the purpose of life. In fact, I'm going to lay before you today that those who seek after earthly treasures, they miss the point. And some point in their life, usually they come to understand that because they're able to maybe have the fame or the notoriety. They're able to have a fortune, and yet they go back and they realize their life is truly empty, that it is in vain, that it does not really have a true meaning, a depth of meaning to it. We need to understand what the Apostle Paul came to understand in his life. Paul realized that life's purpose was in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul, at the stage of which he is writing to those at Philippi, he was in prison. And he had suffered much there at Philippi. He had gone through a lot of bad experiences, yet at the same time, he uses this epistle to praise those at Philippi, the church, as well as to show that he has indeed suffered many things, but yet at the same time, he saw the good that God had and that God would continue to work in and through his life and in and through him. In fact, as Paul is in prison here, according to what we find in chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, Paul knew full well that it was going to turn out for his delivery, that he would be able to be released from prison. Yet in all of this, Paul in verse 21 says, "For me to die is gain, but to live is Christ." To live is Christ. What does it mean? I believe, to begin with, that maybe he had it revealed into him that a part of God's will in Christ was for him to be able to be delivered, for him to go out and to serve Christ. Yet in all of this, Paul came to understand that his life in Christ gave purpose to his life. And therefore, friends, that's why we find Paul doing exactly what it was that he did. He lived every moment of his life engaged in trying to know God more. He spent every moment of his life engaged in service to Jesus Christ our Lord. So much so that, my friends, he wrote 13, possibly 14 books of the New Testament Scripture. And we understand, as he conveyed to those of Galatia in Galatians chapter 20, or Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, is that his life was all about Jesus Christ, for Christ now was living in him. And not in a literal sense, but rather literally, he was allowing his life to be led by Christ. And therefore, every person that saw Paul was able to understand more about Jesus Christ our Lord because of the reflection that Paul was giving of Christ in and throughout the course of his time. I said that most people in life fail to understand the true purpose of life. And there's a man of the Old Testament Scripture who failed in this same area, and that is Solomon. And we understand with regard to Solomon is that he began to reign well over Israel, over the Jews, in the fact that he needed to make a very serious decision in regard to who was the mother of a child, and he sought the wisdom from God, and God gave him wisdom. And the Scripture says in regard to this matter is that during the life of Solomon, there was no other man any wiser than this man. But yet at the same time, we see as you survey or study his life, is that he messed up. He took for himself concubines and wives that were not authorized by God. And they led him to do adultery. They led him to do idol worship and things of that nature, and to lead Israel, if he would, away from God. And at the very close of his life, he came to understand that he had messed up the purpose of his life. He came to understand that the purpose of life was not about Solomon. It was not about fame and fortune. He was a man certainly who had fame. He was a man certainly who had great wealth. But he came to realize for himself is that this is not what life is all about. But he concludes in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 13 and verse 14. For the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And brothers and sisters in Christ, and all who is present here today or listening to us on radio or watching on television, I want us to understand what it is that Paul came to see in his life and what Solomon and many others came to realize in their lives. And that is that in Jesus Christ, we are able to understand our purpose in life. And our purpose in life is not about ourselves. Our purpose in life is not about our family just within itself. Our purpose in life is not about going out and meeting people and having a happy life, but rather our purpose in life is to fear God and keep His commandments and to live our lives faithful to God, because it's only in our faithfulness before God that you and I will be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God. But my friends, also the Apostle Paul identifies in his epistle to those at Philippi is that Jesus provides a pattern for life. Our fellow man tells us that every way is acceptable. We are living in a world today where that I believe that that message that the world has always conveyed is being proclaimed even louder and even broader than it has in the past. Is that man can run in whatever direction he wants to run in, and that that's okay, and that the rest of us need to pat him on the back and say that that's good for him, and that we also need to embrace them and to say that it's okay. You can live however you want to live, but yet at the same time, the Bible tells us in regard to the children of Israel from what we read in Judges 21 and verse 25 is that there was a day in Israel where that there was no king to rule over them, and every man did what was right in his own sight. But yet at the same time, while from a society standpoint this was okay, in the sight of our God, before their Creator and our Creator, this was not right. And God condemned them. God judged them through the judges. He rebuked them and He punished them very severely time after time. And James in the New Testament shows us that there was a people that James was speaking of that said, today or tomorrow we're going to buy and sell and make gain. And James reminds them, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of being able to set whatever pattern we want. Rather, we must follow the pattern that God sets forth. Well, what is that pattern? My friends, we are struggling today as a result of the mindset that is in the world. And in truth, we need to understand what Paul proclaimed to those at Philippi, and I believe that which was a part of his life, and that is that we need to have the mind of Christ. In fact, in this context, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 8, also in verse 9, I would say, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So therefore, he's showing us is that whatever mindset Christ had, we must have. In order for us to follow the pattern of God, we must follow the pattern of Christ. And what is that? He humbled himself. He took upon himself no form of reputation. In other words, he lived a very humble and contrite world, humbling himself to the point to where he became a bondservant that served God above anyone else. But also in serving God, he reached out to his fellow man to serve his fellow man even unto the point of dying a cruel and undeserving death at Calvary's cross. And therefore, my friends, today I tell you that God is pleased with those of us who would have these qualities in our lives. If we will take upon ourselves the mind of Christ, if we will understand the pattern that Christ has set before us for our individual life and service to Him, to God in this world, but also as it pertains to worshiping our God in spirit and in truth, if we will follow this pattern, if we will look to those traits and characteristics of His life, and apply those qualities to our lives, then also God will certainly be pleased with you and me as we live here as servants of Christ, as children in the kingdom of our God. Also, Paul identifies in the context of his epistle to those at Philippi is that Jesus provides the prize for life. Our society rewards people for their achievements in life. And I'm going to say that's not a bad thing. I think that it's a great thing whenever somebody achieves a point in their life and that they're recognized for such. Whenever our children graduate from kindergarten, that's a milestone, is it not? And in fact, not only do they observe that from a secular standpoint at their schools, we even have a ceremony here at our building where that we give them Bibles and we praise them for what it is that they have done. Whenever our children reach that point where they graduate from high school, again, they have an award ceremony where that they're granted their diplomas. And again, we recognize them here and we give them kind of a study Bible, a bigger Bible, if you would, that we hope will help them in life, in their pursuit to know and to serve our God. So in one sense, there's nothing wrong, as we do find in society, where that people are awarded for their achievements in life, for their accomplishments. And yet we understand with regard to God is that our God promises an eternal reward to His faithful saints. And that's what you and I are in pursuit of, is it not? That's what you and I want so much out of life, is not so much life itself, but what we are able to attain in Christ. And what it is that we are promised in Christ, of being able to stand in the presence of God and to hear our God say in our faithful living before Him, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant, for a deed that is well done." Why do we want that? Because God promises us is that the reward that He has prepared for us in heaven supersedes any reward, any achievement award that we will ever be able to receive in this life. In regard to this matter, the Apostle Paul says that he realized that he had not personally apprehended this, is that he had not already attained it. In other words, he realized that while he was living in this world, is that he had to keep on keeping on. And therefore, Paul very explicitly and expressly says, "I press on towards the goal, the mark, the high calling, the prize that is in Jesus Christ, my Lord." To begin with, when he says the high calling, in other words, that calling that he had received in Christ to proclaim Christ, I believe that that's under consideration. But in like figure, God's calling for him as well as for each and every one of us to keep on keeping on, to keep on achieving great things to the glory and honor of our God's name, to keep pressing on And that expression, press on, shows us is that sometimes it can be rigorous. It identifies to us is that sometimes it comes with complications. It signifies to us is that there are degrees of difficulty involved. And when you factor that into what Paul had experienced and what Paul would experience, I believe that it helps us to understand is that he faced persecution. He faced personal trial. He faced temptation that Satan had laid upon him. He even faced physical things that caused him to suffer greatly. But yet at the same time, Paul says that no matter what it is that I face in life, there's a prize that awaits me. And therefore, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on pressing on each and every day. You see, the reward that God has for us, the prize at the end when Jesus Christ appears and whenever you and I as Christians stand before our God is worth the hurdles that we face in life. And I know each and every one of you in a personal way here at East End over the last 10 years that we have been blessed and still blessed, I'm going to say, to work with this congregation as a preacher and over the last few years even as one of the elders. To know you and to see who you are in life to begin with, I want to say that is such an encouragement. But also to see different things that you have gone through and that some of you are going through. And even to know certain things that you will go through or that I may go through, our family may go through. Those things can be hurdles. Those things can challenge us. Those things can cause people to struggle. And Paul conveys into those at Philippi, and it should resonate to us today. And that is that no matter what it is that we face, heaven is worth all of those things. And therefore, keep on pressing on each and every day of our life here. My friends, Paul goes on in Philippians chapter 4 to show us that Jesus provides power for life. There are some pretty powerful people in this world. And when you think about that from a political standpoint, there are some people who have great power. And sometimes they use that with wisdom, and we're grateful for that. There are other people who have great power, and they abuse it. And they use it for themselves, or they use it for their party and such. And we're not so grateful for that, amen? And yet at the same time, on the other end of this, there are some people who have great power. Bodybuilders and things of that nature, and they can lift the back of a car. I do well to just budget. And they're able to lift it up and to bench press it, you might even say. I couldn't even think about doing that myself. I remember as a young teenager, my band teacher had a real small compact car, and we put people all the way around that car to lift that car and to carry it into the band room one time. Yes, we got in trouble for that, but it was fine. No way I could have done that myself. No way two or three of us could have done that. Yet there are people who can lift those things up. There are people who have great power in this life. But my friend, Jesus Christ shows us that we are really and truly nothing without Him. That no matter who you are in life, no matter what your strengths are in life, if you don't have Christ, you are nothing. I am nothing without Christ. He fulfills us. He gives us the power that we need in life. And Paul says that Christ was his strength in life continually. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friends, I look and I read what Paul conveyed to those at Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 13 by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I read, as I shared a few minutes ago, that this man went through just an unreal amount of things, struggles and trials and temptations, and not once, but time after time after time after time. And yet Paul had the strength within himself to say, I can get through this. I can do whatever God wants me to do because I have Christ as my power. who keeps pushing me. And today, God provides everything we need for life. If you're going through a trial, if you're struggling in some way, form or fashion, remember the words of Paul and apply that to your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You and I know that it doesn't mean that the trial will go away. You and I know that it doesn't mean that life will be a bed of roses. But what we do have is the promise of God that He knows everything that we're facing. And that He Himself, that while with man not everything is possible, but with God everything is possible. And while He may not take the burden away, while it may not make everything seem as if everything's great, we will be able to go through whatever it is that we're facing. And we will be stronger as a result of that. Not physically, might say, but spiritually. Because of our love and our commitment to Christ. And because of His love and commitment to us. Through all things that we face in life. My friends, Jesus provides a purpose for life. Jesus provides the pattern for life. Jesus provides the prize of life. And Jesus provides the power of life. Are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, then you do not have these things. Yet at the same time, God wants to supply you with these. But you must be in Christ in order to accomplish it. How do you get in Christ? By confessing Christ to be the Son of God and submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you are here today and you're an erring Christian, you've walked away from these promises and these things that we have in Jesus. Yet at the same time, you can be restored into them. If we would offer prayer on your behalf, and if you're subject to that end, we want to invite you this very hour.